This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Welcome to Ramadan Nights, sponsored by Charity Right. Thank you all for joining us here today. We're in conversation with Sister Khalisha Bennett. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
I also have my lovely co-host, Tariq Shafi, here with us today. How are you doing, Tariq?
Well, thank you. How are you?
Good, alhamdulillah. So this is our first show of Ramadan on Ramadan TV, Ramadan Nights. So just a little bit about the show. We're going to be bringing you a range of prominent figures from across Sydney to talk about their journeys. So the ups and the downs that they've experienced throughout their life, everything in between, and what brought them here today to speak to us. So inshallah, you'll stay tuned, you'll interact with us. So please do send questions, please do send comments, and all of your thoughts. We'll try and reach out to you, all of them, and connect with you guys. Because that's the point of this show. We really want to connect the community back to your homes, especially during COVID. So, brother, Tariq, how's it going? What are you feeling? What are your thoughts?
Feeling a little bit nervous.
Me too.
With showbiz, you never know what's going to happen. We're going live all across Australia as well as the globe. So guys, if anything does take place, they tell you in showbiz, just stay calm, relax, and have somebody with a fire exhauster,
extinguisher.
Extinguisher, thank you. Right, to get going. You can see I'm already muddled. So please bear with us if anything does happen. We've got an amazing tech crew here that will continue to be able to support us. So thank you.
Thank you, Brother Tariq. So without further ado, I really want to get stuck into the conversation with Khalisha. Thank you for being here with us today. It means so much to have you here. I know personally, like, Khalisha Bennett is a name that is really coming up quite a lot. I know you haven't been here too long in Sydney, but Khalisha Bennett is a name we love to hear, whether it's with National Zakat Foundation, Sisters in Need, Brothers in Need, Developing Diamonds. It's a name that we hear quite often. But for some of the viewers that might not have come across Khalisha Bennett yet, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah.
Wherever you want to begin.
Yep. So, assalamu alaikum to everybody who's watching at home. And a little bit about me would be that I'm Australian-born Muslim. My dad is a convert to Islam. So he became Muslim when he was about 21 years old, so over 40-odd years ago. My mum is Cocos Islander. She's born Muslim. And so I've come from that mixed cultured background and grew up in Perth, WA, actually. So most of my life I grew up out in the country, spent a little bit of time in the city, living in the city, and went to Muslim school whilst we lived in the city. And then in the teenage years moved back out to the country again and then back to the city again. And got married quite young and became a mother quite young and got involved in community work and dawah work. And continued with that for about 10, 12 years. And then a couple of years ago, we decided to just do a big change and pull ourselves out of our roots and, you know, step into a bit outside of our comfort zone, I guess. And we moved over to Sydney and just been able to benefit from the community here and have a lot of resources and support for my kids as they grow up as well, rather than me coming from having to provide a lot for the community. I'm now able to, alhamdulillah, still provide whatever I can of support in the community, but also benefit my family because there's a lot going on here, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. So I've personally done a big move. So you could probably tell by my accent, I'm not a local.
Yeah, that's a big
move. It takes a lot. So I moved, I left everything I knew, everything I loved, and I came to Sydney, just much like you. It's hard. It's really hard. How have you coped with that change in your life? You know, it's a brand new chapter. And more importantly, what drove you to do it? Like, what was the ultimate reason you thought, I'm heading over to Sydney?
Yeah, it was actually a bit of an unexpected move, to be honest. I'd really established myself in Perth, where we lived, and that was the game plan, to live in Perth, continue the work that I was involved in quite heavily, in leadership positions and teaching positions in, we'd established Alhamdulillah Community Centre, which originated from a few different programs that I was involved in helping to establish in Perth. And a lot of people say Perth, you know, it's...
Wait a while.
It's it's about 15 years behind Sydney in development. So back, you know, when I had my first few kids, and I thought, we're missing a lot here. We didn't have like basic Islamic studies courses. Mm. We didn't have convert support programs. We didn't have any youth groups. Mm. So seeing that there was so much needed, we have that responsibility as Muslims to step
absolutely,
up. And if something's not there, if there's a gap, if there's a space, we have a responsibility if we see that, to create what's needed.
Yeah.
So I only had, you know, very basic skills, basic knowledge, but I, you know, took the responsibility upon myself, as well as other teams of people, alhamdulillah, you know, the power of teamwork.
Yeah.
And, you know, we established different things there and really felt like that was my home. That was now my work, my life's work. And I reached a stage, kind of hit me out of nowhere, where it was like, I think we need a move. Like, I need a change. I need to... I know that there's a basic human need of growth. You need to feel like you're growing. And I felt like I'd reached like my own personal ceiling.
Mm.
And I was serving and delivering so much, but there was this part of me that was like, what about me?
What about me?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, so moving over to here, alhamdulillah, I had one of my siblings. I've only got one sister and she lived over here. So I thought, I'm coming.
Oh,
and our kids, we have three daughters who are the same age. So I thought, you know what, spend some time over here with my sister. And there's so much to learn from here. And prior to moving over to Sydney, I was studying distance learning for some of the Islamic studies courses and stuff that they've had over here. So I've always kind of been tied in a way.
To Sydney, yeah.
Yeah, so did the big move, and hasn't been easy.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's been pretty, I think it's lonely for a long time. Like, you, for coming from being so tied to so many people and loving your community and having this sense of sisterhood, brotherhood with your community that you've grown up in, your family, leaving all of that behind and saying, like, you know, I come here and I'm like, you know, this newbie, new kid in town, and having to rediscover my identity, like, who am I aside from what I do?
Mm.
So that's been a beautiful journey of like self-discovery as well.
Yeah.
So Felicia, normally when you step out of your comfort zone, there's pain that's normally associated, because that's how you get the growth.
Yeah.
Right? So do you mind just unpacking that a little bit for us in terms of what pain did you experience from probably being highly visible, well recognized in Perth, established a good ecosystem and a support structure, to coming over here and then having to start again? And the second thing on that is, you said, as Muslims, we've got this responsibility to do that. We do, but not everybody's self-aware of that. So where did that self-awareness come from for you to be able to drive you from one side of Australia to the other, to the better side, I must say, right? Within Sydney, right? The better side. Although I love Perth, I have to say. I travel to Perth frequently, but where did that come from? So, do you mind just talking to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I guess it's that whole concept of, you know, sometimes like to teach someone how to swim, you kind of have to throw them in the water a bit. So I think I kind of do that to myself sometimes, and I realise that I think that's an important part of life. That's when you feel like you're alive, when you're forced to swim, when you think you can't swim.
Mm,
And I think comfort zone is probably one of the most dangerous and maybe unhealthy things, and that's why I reached a point where I wasn't feeling the same sense of fulfilment from the work that I was doing, because I wasn't feeling challenged enough. I wasn't feeling like I had enough maybe creative autonomy, the time, the space to do what I love to do, which was fill the gaps in community and serve according to a need.
Mm.
And, you know, after a period of years of kind of doing the same thing, I just needed that little bit more of a challenge for myself. So, the grieving process, I think, happened before I moved. There was a lot that we were kind of wanting to maybe get some space and move away from as well, because you can kind of get stifled by your own community.
Sure.
Maybe community leaders might relate to that experience a bit.
Yeah.
It was kind of like a bit of a break to be able to just breathe and reassess myself, my life, my ambitions, my family, what our needs were, and just adapt and adjust, but it hasn't been easy at all. Like, it was really difficult kids.
What's been difficult in particular?
Hard on the kids moving away. They miss family. They miss the extended family, and they miss a lot of their friends. And, you know, one of my kids, we moved in the teenage years.
It's a big no-no,
you know, in teenage rules. Yeah. Like, you don't uproot them when they're...
Lost my friends, lost my whole
Their
support.
Friends are their identity. So, having to watch that's so painful. Yeah. So painful. But you've got to look at your family as a whole. You can't always kind of make decisions based on what one person wants. It's got to be a family decision.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, right.
Not easy, but that's life. Life is not easy. You know,
absolutely.
Tests and...
Yeah. So it sounds like your kids are a big driving force in your decision making and what makes you who you are today. So as a mum, when you had to make that transition and any other big decisions that you make, that, you know, there is a bit of guilt there, there is a bit of, am I doing the right thing? How do you work through that? How do you come to conclusions? How do you, you know, navigate through the life of motherhood, really?
Yeah, well, alhamdulillah, I've got 5 kids and, you know, they're aged in from their late teens and a little down to a little wild little 4-year-old little girl. It's interesting. It's been an interesting journey. I became a mum at such a young age. I hadn't formulated my own identity, and all of a sudden, bam, you're a mother. And then that massive sense of responsibility that someone else's life is now in the palm of your hand. So I took that very heavily, very seriously. So I entered motherhood very intensely. Painfully intensely. And I've mellowed out now a lot, alhamdulillah. But
would your kids say that?
My kids?
Would they say that you've mellowed out?
Yeah, I think so, in ways. But okay. I'm an intense person anyway.
Okay.
So, go hard or go home.
Yeah, I tell them I'm a bit much, but for the right reasons, and they know that. And they know that, and they voice that. You know, that's what, when you hear your kids give you feedback, they're saying what they see, what they feel from you. So you just want to live life where you know that you've given 100%, you know. Sometimes that's intense. But, kids are a massive driving factor, definitely, in making the decisions in your life and your family's life. It's not easy. There's a lot of pressures on mum and on mothers. And you mentioned the word, like, guilt. That's something so often said, motherhood guilt. It's like they're synonymous.
The two are the same, right?
And we don't hear that a lot with fatherhood, unfortunately.
But, yeah, why is that?
That's me. I don't know. But on that note, I have to say, folks, we're gonna go out to a break, and we're going to come back and talk to Kalisha Bennett more about COVID-19, how she's navigating Ramadan, and we're going to talk chicken wings, hot sauce, and a lot more. Please keep your questions coming through down below in the Facebook section. It's sponsored by Charity Ride Australia. We'll be back in a moment.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. My dear brothers and sisters, have you ever thought about what life will be like in Jannah? There is a very, very beautiful hadith Qudsi where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, أَعْدَدْتُ لِعِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحِينَ مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. Allah here, he says that I have prepared for my righteous slaves what the eye has never seen before, and the ear has never heard before, and the human heart and the human mind could never even imagine. So my dear brothers and sisters, if you and I were to close our eyes and dream, we could not imagine how amazing life in Jannah will be like. This Ramadan, let's work to achieve Allah's mercy and His Jannah. Wassalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome back to Ramadan Nights. We're joined tonight with Kalisha Bennett. We just saw a beautiful video about imagining what Jannah might be look like, what will it smell like. And if we relate that to today's pandemic globally, we've never seen anything like that before. So just before we go in and we ask Kalisha about Ramadan and COVID-19. I wanted to talk to you a little bit, if it was okay, about being a public figure. So when we have and we see public figures such as yourself, people look up to you, right? Of a wide array of ages, genders, etc., etc., etc. But with that, I guess, comes this pressure. And the pressure is that people expect you to be perfect, right? There's this veneer that's almost carved out that you need to be perfect. However, people sometimes don't realize the struggles, the personal struggles that you might be going through. So when in one of our scoping sessions before this show, you were telling us a little bit about some of the struggles that within family, in particular, to do with one of your siblings. Do you mind if we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure.
And the pressures of being a public figure?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so public figure, it's heavy, right? It's a heavy responsibility. And to be honest, if I had the choice, I would love just a quiet, private life living somewhere out rural.
You have that.
Yeah, in a way, yeah, I guess Campbelltown, you know, but...
Sydney's finest, Campbelltown.
Yeah. I guess at the core of it, I would love to have my, you know, my privacy and live a quiet life and not have the responsibility of supporting people, teaching people, influencing people. It's a very heavy responsibility and a heavy burden. And, you know, when we look at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his example, do you think he wanted to be the center of attention? Did he want... people to hold him in this high esteem? He was the most humble human being ever. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you have a mission, you have a message, and now you need to step up. And each and every one of us as Muslims have that mission to pass on the message, the da'wah, whatever good we can deliver to community, to society, we have a responsibility to do that. And that means putting ourselves on the line. And to be honest, it is very difficult being a female Muslim woman public figure. There's a lot of stigma around it. Personally, I had, you know, a lot of apprehensions, and you know, prior to making the decision to be more outspoken in my, you know, my reminders and the coaching and the identity talks that I do, you couldn't see me online. I had no pictures up, nothing. My privacy was everything to me. I love my privacy.
Sure.
And so having to step forward, try to of course, you have to, you know, present yourself in, you know, the proper etiquette, a professional way. Yeah. But I also add a little bit of my own personality to that, some of my personal story to that, just to show the real side again, like of I'm still a human being. I still struggle day to day with a lot of different things. My life's not perfect. My background's not perfect. I've come from a really, colourful kind of family situation, still colourful today.
Yeah.
And I face those struggles within my family unit and my extended family and close friends and networks every day. So a lot of what I do now and what I speak about is speaking to the struggle of Muslims in current times.
Right.
And reminding ourselves that Islam is the beautiful model. It's perfect.
Yeah. Right.
The Quran and Sunnah is perfect, but we humans are not perfect.
Absolutely.
And we are going to go through the ups and downs in life, and there are so many struggles, and let's lift the judgment away from those struggles, away from each other, and just support each other towards pleasing Allah in the best way that we can.
And in the light of social media, it's hard to lose vision of that. I call it the highlighter reel, because when we are looking at Instagram and people who are in the public figure, you think that their lives are perfect. And so you coming out and speaking to audiences and saying, my life isn't perfect and that's okay. I'm doing what I do and I'm striving for in the way of Allah, but it's okay not to have a perfect life.
Yep.
So the struggles that you face, some of the things that you've had with your family, do you want to share a bit about those with us?
Yeah, sure. So growing up, I have six brothers, I have one sister, so we're a very big family. We had a lot of age gaps between us. And then coming from, you know, a family with two different cultures, we had Aussie culture, we had kind of Islander Malay culture.
Yep.
And then alhamdulillah, my parents, they're coming together, they created Islamic culture within our home, along with the societal culture, which is the Aussie culture, right?
Yep.
So, having a big family and a community in Perth that wasn't highly supported in terms of youth programs and stuff like that, a lot of the people around me and some of my siblings just got caught up on, you know, falling into the wrong path. And so a lot of my journey as a young Muslim, you know, it was trying to navigate that path and not get caught into those different vices tunnels and holes, pitfalls, you know.
Yep.
So that's always been a very touchy point for me personally, which is why the work that I do is driven from that place that I've come from. The fact I lost some of the closest people to me until today to that life, and not just boys, and not just the guys that I went to school with, but girls, women, like that were my best friends or my own relatives, who just from a few wrong steps just went, we went on totally different paths, Panala. And for me, having a very little basic understanding of Islam in especially my teenage years and early adulthood, that's what helped to keep my head on straight, and that's what I pretty much call to now and remind people about, that if we can just keep on track, know why we're here, hold on to some essential principles, but also understand the struggles in that path, then inshallah, you know, we can hopefully stay on track together, inshallah.
So Kalisha, what do you think, just before we talk about Ramadan and we talk about COVID-19, what do you think your greatest struggle in life has been thus far?
My greatest struggle in life?
What's been your biggest challenge, do you think, that when people look at you, they would never have thought, wow, she actually went through that?
Yeah.
Or she experienced that? Because people will be able to relate to that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what has that been, and how did you move past that or through that?
You like asking the
the tough questions?
The questions with a sharp edge.
I've got to tell you, the audience out there, that's what they're looking for.
Yeah.
They're really looking to be able to say, hey, we've got this wonderful figure, she's espousing Islam, she talks about how I can get the best out of me, but she's just like me. But sometimes we don't see that. Do you know what I mean? That we don't see that. So we're always looking at what we don't have compared to what we really do have.
Yeah.
So for you, what has been that greatest struggle?
I guess for me, it's been why I do work in identity, the identity of Muslim women and young people especially, is because that has been my entire journey, trying to establish and hold on to and discover and strengthen my sense of identity as a woman, as an Australian, as a Muslim, my cultural identity, the whole kind of aspect, all the different aspects of it, you know, the different facets of your identity. And why has that been my biggest struggle is because of what's happened around me up to this point, still till today, the struggles that would happen around me that I would be involved in supporting or get caught into or have to navigate have been really intensely intense.
Like what?
Things like drug addiction around me, I've witnessed and been involved in domestic violence situations, marriage breakups, the ups and downs of life. Yeah. Despite wanting to be a good practicing Muslim throughout all of that,
it's hard.
And trying to, being everyone's lifeboat plus my own, plus trying to heal my own wounds from my own, childhood upbringing, emotional betrayals and hurt that you go through in different relationships. So, that's probably been the biggest struggle, like to keep swimming. We're talking about the analogy of jumping in the deep end, but to keep swimming and to help people along that journey.
Now's been a really tricky time for a lot of people. So most of our audience are probably at home, not being able to connect with their normal lives. It's a struggle. How are you, as an individual and your family, managing through Ramadan and COVID and lockdown? How has that been for you guys?
Yeah. Alhamdulillah, we adapted pretty well because we've come from being a homeschooling family. My couple of my kids are now, alhamdulillah, at school. They were supposed to be at school and the school sent them back to me thanks to the coronavirus. So I'm not impressed. I'm not impressed. The 1 year, I'm like, okay, I'm going to have a little bit of me time. They sent them back. But I wasn't going to need a refund, So we adapted pretty well. But overall, it's about having routines and systems, disciplines within your home that build up and create a healthy life, So you have your Islamic aspects, your worship, your learning, your kids' Islamic studies programs that, hopefully you're reading Quran and things like that. But then there's also making sure you're staying fit and healthy as a family. So exercising, looking after your mental, emotional health.
Absolutely.
Yeah, life skills, doing things around the place, challenging yourselves. Like, my son's been teaching himself how to do backflips and on the trampoline, like little things like that. We got to have this guy here.
He's got Hamza here in the crowd, right? Okay,
cut to some footage of him doing
In a moment, we'll just cut to some footage.
Self-taught, Who needs gymnastics classes? Yeah. But
what kind of exercise have you been doing with the family? Like, what have you guys been doing?
Yeah, well, they've got the Get the Kids Fit online for the kids. That's like 3 times a week, so that's been really good. But I'm an exercise junkie myself, so I just make sure I get those in. And like the benefits for your mental health, like you can't really explain how good it is for your mental health. Just 1-2 days without exercising and you'll feel it. And when you do exercise, totally different shift in mood and endorphins and stuff like that. So believers, we should be the healthiest people on the planet.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we're one of the unhealthiest populations, so that's a whole other issue.
There's
another
a joke,
topic.
It's only Muslims that will spend the whole day not eating anything but still put on weight at the end of Ramadan.
Always, everyone.
We laugh, but it's embarrassing.
It is.
Shame, you know?
No, that's good. But for some parents, you know, it might be a little bit more difficult where activities in the household and managing working from home and all of those stuff. If you could say one message to the, you know, the mothers and the fathers who are juggling so many different aspects of their life, what would that be?
I'd say go easy on yourself and simplify what it is that you expect and know very clearly your minimal expectations. You know, if it's your deen, if it's your learning, their school, your health, maybe 2, 3, 4 aspects, keep it simple. Don't overburden yourself because then you'll totally throw the towel in. That's what people do. They tend to overburden themselves and have too high expectations, and then they throw them all over the edge. Like they give up on everything because it becomes too much. So just simplify. Know what's important.
Yep.
And there are, you know, technically I always tell people, what are the 5 most important things in your life? And that's what should be the essentials, you know, the absolute go-tos.
And just before, I think we're going to throw to a break and we're going to come back with chicken wings, hot sauce. And we're going to see what your...
Not good.
We're going to bring out the Malay in you.
Yeah,
we see how that is.
We're going to see how it is.
That's going to be my Aussie side struggling with the tissue box.
Can I ask you, what's been the greatest thing that COVID-19 has brought as a result of for Ramadan and the family unit in particular? What do you think has been the greatest outcome compared to potentially a Ramadan that we'll never see again in our lifetime?
Yeah. I think definitely the quiet and not having the demand of go, go, go.
Yeah.
You know, having by force all the appointments, commitments, everything cancelled on us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decree and his wise planning.
Yeah.
It's for the good of all of us.
Yes.
And that quiet is where you can really delve deep into yourself, your worship, assessing your life, your values. What have you been missing out on? How many people have we heard that, you know, and fathers, mothers saying, you know, I'm loving the time I'm spending with my kids. Quality time. Forced to have quality time.
We're hearing that a lot. I've got to tell you, Kalisha, we're hearing that. They're loving spending time with their family. I've got my son here loving it. Yeah, his mum's loving it. They're absolutely loving it. Well, I think on that note, if I may, I think we're going to go to a break.
We're going to be going into a quick break, but do stay tuned because this is the part that I've been the most excited for. We're going to be testing Kalisha. We're going to be putting hot wings in her mouth and asking her even hotter questions. Make sure you are asking those questions for us. So drop them in now. This is your chance. We're going to be asking those questions right after this break.
Assalamu alaikum. Transform your Ramadan this year, my brothers and sisters, by internalizing this hadith. Check it out. Yeah, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that all of the deeds that the son of Adam does are for him, except for fasting, that is for me, and I shall reward for it. Or as it came. What this means, subhanAllah, one explanation for this is that every single deed you do, whether it's prayer, whether it's giving sadaqah, whether it's reciting Quran, the angels know the exact reward for it. And they write it down. It might be 10, might be 20, it might be 10,000, might be as many as the Mount of Uhud. They know the exact amount. But fasting is so special and so dear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the reward for it is so grand that He kept this information from the angels. And you'll only find out this reward when you see Him on the Day of Judgment. Now just imagine that. Such an incredible reward. So have high hopes for this reward, inshallah, while you're fasting. And really do it in hope to get this incredible, unlimited, unspecified reward, special and direct from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Barakallahu feekum and Ramadan Mubarak.
Would like to welcome all our respected guests, honoured friends, to the inaugural dinner of Charity Ride Australia.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله.
Charity Right is essentially an international food program. Our vision is to see a world in which hunger is no longer a barrier that prevents people from reaching their full potential.
The focus is very niche. It is about feeding the needy. There are other institutions that are well established. We will support them, but we will not compete with them.
This food is a good vehicle to touch upon those lives who we don't know.
And there are kids who are waiting for the arrival of food. This is probably the only meal they'll have during the day.
We have a ethical and moral duty to ensure, when we can, at least that one basic meal.
إطعام الطعام اقتحام للعقبة وسبيل إلى جنة الله في الآخرة.
If you want Allah Azza wa Jal to save you in the after from the hardship you go into face, spend today.
Assalamu alaikum, guys. Welcome back to Ramadan Nights in Conversation with Kalisha. So this is the segment that we've had a lot of questions for, and we've also had a lot of interest around what we're going to be doing. So I ordered an Uber Eats.
Somebody say Uber Eats? Uber Eats? Yes, we've come prepared for you.
Yes.
There are, Kalisha. Some fresh chilies and a couple of very, very mild chili pastes.
So, Kalisha, each chili is meant to be getting hotter. We're going to be asking you some questions in between. And hopefully, your mouth won't be burning too much for you to answer those questions.
Man. Get that fire extinguisher ready, yeah. Please.
So, guys, this is your chance. Make sure you're sending in the questions, because we're going to be asking them to Kalisha. And hopefully it'll be rather a bit fun trying to see how she navigates through the chili and the questions.
Yeah, not sure
how. So how do you want to do this? Do you want to do the first question first, or do you want to bite right in?
Okay, let's do a question
first.
That's
your heritage coming out.
That's my heritage, my family. My relatives are going to disown me. They're going to say, this is what happens when an islander marries a white man. You get one of these.
Folks, we didn't say that. Kalisha Bennett said that. Eyes really, really clear.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I'm meant to
make my parents proud.
I'm meant to be eating these with you. So yes. From what I understand, this is the least hot. So,
the middle one?
The middle one, okay. Yeah. So look, do you want to start with that? You go first, okay. Bismillah.
All right, we'll grab one of these.
And I'll go for one of these ones. See, good, spicy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've gone quite generous on there, but Bismillah.
Okay, that's all right.
It's not too bad, Kalisha.
It's not too bad.
Sorry, milk?
So, my first question.
The milk?
How many times have you been asked if you're a revert?
A lot, yeah, a lot of times actually. The assumption is automated because of my surname.
Yeah.
So that's a common mistake, misconception.
Yeah.
And then they say, so where are you from? And then you have to explain that, and then no one knows where Cocos Islands are.
Campbelltown.
Yeah.
Just tell them Campbelltown.
Campbelltown. No one knows where that is either. Since I moved to you, people are like, where do you live? I'm like, Campbelltown. They're like, where?
What's that?
I'm like, is it part of Sydney or what?
It's such a strange question for me as well. Like, where are you from? Do you want to know where my parents are from? Do you want to know where I was born? Do you want to know that I live in Lakemba? What is it?
I think for most Muslims now, especially living in different countries and stuff, we have this multi-layered identity, which is important to acknowledge and celebrate.
Yep.
Cool. Alrighty, so let's move into a bit more of a chili.
You too, this is ikram, you know, we have to eat together, the barakah.
I'm the person who rings, like, I've got the...
We've got to make your skin tone match your shirt.
No, right, thank you, come on, let's go,
Okay, so now we'll move into the next spice level.
That one looks scary, it looks like...
No, it's not, it's just barbecue sauce.
It's like poison.
It's like barbecue sauce.
Yeah. Bismillah. How's that? That's not too bad.
No, it's not too bad.
I was told that this one was a bad one.
Just waiting for some afterburn.
We have a question. Yeah, there's an afterburn. Can feel that. We have a question from Hidayah. She asks you, who inspires you the most and why?
Who inspires me the most and why?
Mm.
Interesting. I think some of the people that I've met throughout my community journey have mm-hmm. been the most inspirational people. And in particular, I have met some Muslims from our community with disabilities who are just the most dedicated volunteers, the most sincere, pure hearts, who I feel like are so overlooked. And see, I'm choking up now just like thinking about it because, I don't know, I've just been able to be blessed to know them and see their hearts and their souls and the dedication that they have. Like, you can't find it in the community, the way that they are dedicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to their volunteer roles, to giving 100%, the enthusiasm. Mm. And they are like that because of their struggle. It's just purified them, and just I feel so inspired by those individuals. Like, I want to have a heart like them.
Is that where the name Developing Diamonds comes from? Where under deep pressure, you get something so beautiful.
No, she has to eat before she can answer that. Come on.
Sorry, I'm slacking off.
Come on, you guys are slacking off. I'm not serious, but that's the whole point.
Okay.
So where does...
Eat with my mouth full, that's rude.
Yeah.
Where does the name come from?
The name comes from, actually, back in Perth, I established a youth group called Diamonds of Islam.
Mashallah.
So that was the origins. And I initially wanted to... It was about 8 years ago now. And it's still running till today, alhamdulillah, in Perth. But I initially wanted to do Diamonds of Islam development workshops kind of thing.
Yeah.
Never had the time and space to, because I was involved in then establishing an Islamic center and all these other programs. So I shelved it, established a business name and everything. And then before moving here, I thought, I think it's time to
do it.
Rebirth.
Yeah.
You know, so I changed the name because my brand designer, he said, you sound like a... building and construction company, development workshop, diamond development, something like that.
Building societies.
Yeah, so we switched it around. Yeah, made it a bit more feminine.
Yeah.
Nice. Now developing diamonds, because we're all diamonds and we're all in the process of developing ourselves. Yep. Alhamdulillah.
Cool.
Now hang on for a second. That's it. Now you've got to go back in.
Yes, we do.
Like, you're struggling.
Should we do one of these?
Yes, you're doing. I'm going to ask Kalisha a quick question, even though I know it's in the script for me not to really talk. So anyways, right? Kalisha, how do you zone out? How do you have fun? Like, what does Kalisha Bennett do?
For fun.
For fun, because she's an intense...
Does Kalisha Bennett sleep? Because you are doing live feeds all over the world. Mm. When do you...
Do you sleep and how do you have fun?
I sleep fine, alhamdulillah. I'm a very easy sleeper too.
Let's see after the chili whether you sleep. Alhamdulillah.
Oh, come on, get a bit bigger than that.
Really? I'm so scared. I've got trust issues.
Let's unpack that.
Oh, that's
that.
Not bad. Trust issues.
That's
not bad.
That's another show.
With a therapist.
Yeah, that's another show. Right?
I feel that. Okay.
Yeah. So with the fun.
Yeah.
How do you have fun?
Fun. I don't know, every day, the things that are thrown into my day, that seed's hot.
Yeah, I feel it.
Yeah, that's all right. You've got to keep talking.
Keep going.
You've just got to keep going. That's the point of the segment. All right, let's get some water. Okay, give me 1 second, folks.
I've got my bottle.
I'm going to get some water.
The things I do throughout the day are fun. Like, I make sure I exercise at least once a day. I love that. That's fun.
That was not a good idea, but carry on.
Doing things with the kids. That's fun. Yeah, so just learning. I find learning fun. I find what I do, like my work, the things that, the projects I'm doing, I find it all fun. So... And I feel like life is fun.
Kalisha,
my work is fun.
We've got an interesting one here. When was the last time you cried?
When's the last time I cried? Like 2 days ago? I cry a lot. I cry. I like to be someone who cries easily, and I think that's important. Not as in over nothing, but I want my heart to always be close to the surface.
Yep.
So if I see, if I have a moment, or I read something, or I witness something, I want to feel it deeply. Yeah. I feel like that's living, that your heart is fully open, and we ask Allah protection from having hard, closed hearts. So I think it's important to...
Cool. Keep going.
It's my job here.
I've got to pee.
I'm feeling it. Okay, we've got another question here. I like this one. It's from Riz. I'm a big fan of your deep discussion cards.
Oh, yeah.
How did you come up with them? How did you come up with them, and what was the idea behind it? So I guess, for those who don't know what the deep discussion cards are, tell us a bit about them.
Mm-hmm. So deep discussions cards are a little product that I made and alhamdulillah launched last year. And it's a set of cards that I always wanted to make, but I'd always done it kind of... a homemade job. I would print out bits of paper which would ask questions, open-ended questions.
Yep.
And I would use it for like icebreakers, for classes, programs, youth groups, just to kind of bring people together.
Chicken wings just wouldn't break the ice enough for you.
No, yeah, we would. No, yeah, no, that's not how I roll. So yeah, we'd use these bits of paper to ask questions. And I feel like that bringing together of people, especially initially within a class environment, everyone being able to be a little bit vulnerable and share who they are, really sets the tone for the learning that you're about to deliver, because everyone's feeling safe and receptive.
What's your favorite question on those cards? Because I've seen them and I've used them and I love them. What's your favorite question on there?
Favorite question is, I really like the ones that I've put with values on there.
Yeah.
Because I think we do need to question what our values are and understand that some people have different views on values, like honesty means or integrity means, and some people have different understandings of these different terms and values. So
Kalisha,
one of the things that we spoke about before, I think we probably wrap up this.
Yeah, this chili is driving me nuts right now. I've bitten the wrong seed.
you told us, I'm going to take it away. I'll take it away in a moment, right? You told us when you were 11, there was an epiphany that you had that you just felt like I had to pray, right? You were thinking about your akhirah, right? There's a young Kalisha Bennett out there. How does she get the best out of herself, or they get the best out of themselves? What advice do you have?
I guess I would say to really reflect on your life, reflect on the realities of life. It's easy to get caught up with all the illusions and all the distractions, and we're in times now where everything is so distracting, and you know, our smartphones and devices just have a non-stop flow of messages, entertainment, videos, TikTok videos, and all these sorts of illusionary, distractive things which aren't meaningful. So reflect on the realities of life. Ultimately, for me, it was reflecting on death, only being about 11 years old, realizing that, you know, my parents were going to die, and then I joined the dots and thought, hang on, I'm going to die. And that absolutely freaked me out, the concept of death, and that this life is one day going to pass and be over. And what does it mean to have lived a good life? And what will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what will God ask me when I die? And ultimately it was, you know, I knew that God would ask me if I obeyed and worshipped him. So from, you know, a young age, I decided, okay, as a minimum, I should try to pray. So I would tell any young person out there who is feeling maybe hollow or disillusioned or lonely or empty in life to reflect on the reality and return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in obedience and worship, and just start off by praying to him, especially now in Ramadan. Soften your heart, put your head on the ground, cry your eyes out, and ask him for what it is that you most ardently want in this life and the next, inshallah.
Thank you, guys. Look, guys, I don't know about you, but I'm actually going to have one.
That's amateur level.
Really?
Like, whilst he does that,
I'm going to mix a couple.
Blend like, and add some.
Whilst he does that, there's a question that's come through and it's hit a nerve for me because I don't know if I could answer it. Because I'm away from my mum and I miss her so much every day. Do you miss your family? Do you miss your mum?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, your family are who you are, a part of who you are. Your family has made you who you are today. They've shaped and moulded your personality, your charisma, your character traits, good and bad.
Yeah.
And nobody's family is perfect, but they're the perfect family for you.
That's
you know.
Okay, yeah.
So yeah, absolutely. I miss my family a lot. I miss you guys. And you know, I'm I've always tried to live in a way that my parents would, at the end of the day, like feel proud of me and feel glad that they have me as their daughter. And even if I can't be there to physically serve them, if I can serve them through serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and making their hearts feel like reassured, you know, that that maybe I can be something that's part of their hasana as well because of what they've invested in me according to the best of their abilities.
Alhamdulillah.
I don't know how you guys did that. Actually,
well done.
I'm going to take that. Sorry about that. Honestly.
He had one job.
One job. Sorry about that.
We need one of those stain removal ads now.
On that note, guys, thank you for joining us in conversation with Kalisha Bennett. We want to thank you so much for coming on and, you know, really kick-starting this for us. We're going to be joined by some other guests. I know Brother Tariq's just made a bit of a mess. This is your time.
It was supposed to be my take, so let me throw it out.
This is your turn to fix.
Thank you
things.
Very much. So thank you, Kalisha. So thanks, everybody, for joining us tonight. Thanks for being part of the pilot. And we look forward to coming to you tomorrow with a special episode entitled From Gangster's Paradise to the Halls of Parliament, where we've got the local member of Lekemba, Jihad Dib, joining us. I know we've said that our ordinary episodes come to you live on Wednesdays and Thursdays at 8 p.m., but we couldn't turn down Jihad Dib. So thank you very much. And thank you to Charity Right Australia. Folks, please jump onto Charity Right Australia's website, charityright.org.au/donate. It's 100% tax deductible. Without them, the show wouldn't have been possible, and we won't be able to bring the great personalities of Sydney to you throughout the course of Ramadan. So thank you very much for joining us tonight. Please feel free to continue to leave us potentially a 1-star or a 2-star review, right? And some questions, and we look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Assalamu alaikum and good evening.
Assalamu alaikum, guys. You're going to pay for the shrug.
I'd like to welcome all our respected guests, honoured friends, to the inaugural dinner of Charity Right Australia.
Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ittaqullaha waltanzur nafsum ma qaddamat lighadin wa اتقوا الله.
Charity Right is essentially an international food program. Our vision is to see a world in which hunger is no longer a barrier that prevents people from reaching their full potential.
The focus is very niche. It is about feeding the needy. There are other institutions that are well established. We will support them, but we will not compete with them.
This food is a good vehicle to touch upon those lives who we don't know.
And there are kids who are waiting for the arrival of food. This is probably the only meal they'll have during the day.
We have a ethical and moral duty to ensure, when we can, at least that one basic meal.
إطعام الطعام اقتحام للعقبة وسبيل إلى جنة الله في الآخرة.
If you want Allah Azza wa Jal to save you in the after, from the hardship you're going to face, spend today.